Hello, welcome. Gonna get Coach Lisa up when she gets her hand up. Welcome. Welcome, everyone. All right, Coach Lisa, I'll look for your hand when you're here. And in the meantime, let's get started. Ah, there she is. One moment. There we go. Hi, Coach Julie here. Welcome back. So happy you're all here. Today, Coach Lisa is going to be in the chat like every time. You can count on her to be right here with us. And I will tell you, she's going to be in all caps, classic, no BS, all caps. She's not yelling. She is just trying to make sure her posts stand out. So, all right, let's get started. I welcome if you are here for sex and body image and the connection to that and weight loss, you are in the right place. I am No BS Coach Julie. Some of you know me, some of you might be meeting me for the first time. I am a life coach certified coach. I'm also a weight loss coach, advanced certified no BS coach, but also I've gone on to do specialized training from two different organizations for sex and relationship and body image work. So this is my life's passion. I work with women in no BS one-on-one on this topic all the time. Yes, Jean Banning, yes. I am going to be speaking at camp. Yes, thank you. So, Body Image Camp in May, get your tickets. There are literally just a few tickets left for in person. And I know that some of you know new members recently. We are now creating a bubble of love for new members in their first 30 days so they don't have access to really most of No BS. We want new members to focus on the No BS weight loss course. And so at their 31st day graduation, they will have access to camp. So the expectation is they're going to gobble up all of those remaining in-person tickets, and you can get tickets virtually. So I look forward to you all today and every time I'm here with you talking about this topic. So, if you have a question, please put it in the Q&A. But really, I would love to see some hands raised. I'm going to talk for a couple minutes. You can get coached on anything, sex, body image, body esteem. And I'm just going to go first come, first hand, first serve. So, Mo, that's going to be you. I'm just going to talk for a couple of minutes about using some of your no BS tools that also work for sex and relationships and body image and body esteem. So, the thing that I think I have used the most from no BS, like straight from the course, is being the scientist and not being the judge. So, what does that really mean when it comes to sex and relationships and body image, body esteem? Well, it kind of means getting into curiosity, staying in curiosity about how to do something, how to approach something. It's like tapping into your inquisitive mind. And so often with sex and in relationships, the judgment is so great. The judgment is so great that, like, we can't overcome that. We can't get into curiosity and stay in curiosity. So, let's talk about it for a minute together. But I want to ask you, so either emoji or in the chat, how many of you have been curious about something around sexuality, whether it's about your own body, whether it's partnered sex? Whether it's about the function of something, how many of you have like literally been curious about something but too afraid to ask or too afraid to look, don't want to go to a site like that, don't want someone to catch you, don't want someone to see it on your phone or on your computer? I see a few of those. Me too. That's how I was too. That's how I started this work, is like not knowing where to go and finding like some tools that got me really excited about what was possible. So, okay. Here's the interesting thing. So, staying curious, but like also never settling for a single answer, right? Because there is literally no right and wrong when it comes to sex and intimacy. If you could just be curious, you can try everything. It may not like work the way you want it to work, or the way you think it will, or the way you hope it would. But as long as you can stay curious and be willing to like experiment or question, you can kind of work your way through it. So let's just talk about a few steps that really help staying in curiosity in the bedroom. So, open communication, fostering open and honest communication with yourself and with a partner. Like about your desires, about your boundaries, about your interests, creating a safe and non-judgmental space to share your thoughts and fantasies. And I know some of you are like, how do I do this with myself? Well, we know from No BS, we're our own worst judges, right? So immediately, I can tell you in my own experience, like when I first was learning more about self-pleasure, I had so much judgment about it. So then I was just like embarrassed and I wasn't able to get into curiosity about it. Right. So open communication with yourself is willing to be honest, but not just shitting on yourself. Right. Like allowing you to have fantasies, normalize what happens in your brain. Side of something illegal, there's nothing you aren't allowed to do when it comes to pleasure. Right? We're not going to ever address something illegal together. But anything else is fair game. So really with curiosity, you get to educate yourself. You can take time to like learn about different aspects of sexuality, from anatomy to techniques to like sexual health. Knowledge can fuel so much. You have no idea. Like I read, okay. We're here to get personal. I read about this new technique and watched a video on how to do it for a female to receive oral sex. Not just focus on the knob of the clitoris, but like the entire clitoris, the entire organ. Down the road here in a couple months, we're going to talk even more about this. But I watched some videos on it and they weren't porn. They were educational videos. And I realized, like, whoa, there's a lot of ways to be receiving that that I like didn't know about. I was curious. I was willing to like go to a site and click on a video. I was a little uncomfortable, but I was curious. So I just want you to remember what curiosity does. Like, it helps you also explore your own mindset, like your approach to sexual exploration. It doesn't have to be performance oriented. What does that mean? It means everything that we want to do in sex and intimacy doesn't have to end in orgasm. There's a lot of pleasure out there, ladies, a lot of pleasure out there. And orgasm doesn't have to be the ultimate goal. It's not required for either partner, for you yourself. You can receive insane amounts of pleasure without that expectation. If you're willing to be curious, you can experiment with those things with and like literally derive like huge amounts of pleasure from the act of doing whatever it is without like thinking an outcome has to happen. So how do you do that? Like paying attention to your sensory experience, really focusing on the sensations of things, textures of things, temperatures of things. That really heightens your curiosity. Like the more that I'm willing to be in my body in the moment and feel like the coolness of the sheets at first, the heat of sheets in the middle, all the different changes that happen in your body, the more you're curious about them, the more you're aware and able to receive like heightened pleasure. So, I really want to encourage you to try new things, allow yourself to have fantasies, and encourage your imagination. Let your brain and your body connect through curiosity and tap in to what's rightfully yours if you want it. All right. So I will get to some questions in the Q&A if there are any, but let's coach. Ruth Ann, I'm going to promote you. Your hand is up. Oh, Ruth Ann doesn't want to come up. Ruth Ann, your hand is up. I've had a couple hands go up and down. So if you would like to be coached, please raise your hand. You can get coached on anything. Like, do you know how to allow yourself to be open to pleasure? Do you know how to get into your body and out of your head? Have you ever experienced pleasure? Somebody raise your hand. Let's talk about it. This is like the space where we get to literally explore and talk about things that there's no place that we get to have these kinds of conversations. I haven't experienced any community like this where the door is open to any type of question or conversation that we want to have. Is bad sex better than no sex at all? Is a question that I'm getting right now. Louise, that is a great question. It depends on your perspective. What is bad sex? Does that mean you're not actually experiencing pleasure? You tell me. I'm going to bring Christy up and I want to explore this with you while Christy's coming to the stage here. No sex is absolutely no pleasure at all. Sex that might not lead to something in fruition can offer you all kinds of things. If you're only thinking about orgasm, maybe it's not worth it. But what do you feel when you're having it? Do you feel connected to your partner? Do you feel close to your partner? Is there anything you do like about it? Is there any emotional satisfaction you get? Is there anything positive that comes from it? If there's no positive, then I would say no, it's not better. But I would challenge you to find the positive and see if there is any, because it's possible. It's possible you're missing it. You can post more in the Q&A if you want, based on my answer to you. Okay, Christy's coming up. Hi, Christy. I'm going to get you unmuted. Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I am good.
Good.
All
What do you
right,
want to
trying
talk
to
about?
get connected. There we go. So you mentioned a moment ago a concept that I've never thought of. So I thought I'd just ask for you to elaborate. You mentioned that you were curious about ways to receive pleasure.
Yeah.
So I guess I've never thought about way like my I'm going to call it mechanical brain immediately goes to positions or something like that. But
Yeah.
what did you mean when you say preparing to enjoy some sort of pleasure?
You mean what do I mean by the idea of preparing for pleasure, like preparing myself for pleasure? Yeah. So, okay. Women, so oftentimes, Christy, like we are all up in our heads, our to-do list, our work, our kids, our parents that we care for,
Right.
right? Like everybody is in front of us. But I would find that my partner would instigate some sort of intimacy with me, and I like was so not ready. I was not prepared at all. And so the answer was always no, to the point where he stopped asking. And so what I realized is, like, as a person, I'm sort of responsible for my own readiness. And so I realized, like, there are things I can do. Like today, I'll get off of work tonight after this call. I'm going to do like a couple minutes of grounding. I'm just going to like leave my work here in my office. I'm not going to take it upstairs to, my living room or my bedroom. I am going to like close my day. Like, imagine leaving everything here in my chair. And then I'm also going to do some things like emotionally and physically to kind of like shake off all of the things I carry with me, but kind of be emotionally prepared. Now, I have found like there's all kinds of things that make me ready and willing to receive intimacy. So I get some level of arousal from listening to erotic books or reading erotic books. And I paid attention to my body. When I listened to something like that, I had a physical response. I noticed the sensations in my body. And so I was willing to be curious and kind of experiment, like, well, if I take a shower after work, and if while I'm taking my shower, I listen to something that like could be major erotica, it could be just like very light innuendo erotica. It kind of like, it almost like lights a fire inside of my body. Like I can feel it and nothing has happened, right? Like there's been no touching, there's been no foreplay, but I've sort of like almost primed my own spirit, my body, my mind. I've gotten a little bit out of my head and into my body. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
What happens for you?
Well, I'm kind of in an interesting circumstance. I got divorced after 26 years of marriage, this past year, and had been in, I'll call it a sexless marriage, for many, many years. And really no interaction at all. I mean, nothing. And I have met someone, and I thought, and I've gone through menopause, and I thought, okay, everything's, dried up, and this is the way life is, and sex is never going to be fun, and you're always going to need some lubricant because everything's dried up. I mean, just to be, just to be
Honest.
specific, yeah. Because years back, that was the only thing that worked, but nothing really worked, or at least I thought everything was broken. And I have found, now that I have this new partner, I am elated to figure out that everything is not broken and nothing is dried up and everything works the way it should. But a lot of it has to do with being mentally in the thinking part prepared, and also to be, and I think what you said, sort of an open mindset of exploring. I mean, because initially I'm like, oh my gosh, I've not been intimate with someone in years, and I haven't been intimate with anyone but my husband in 25 plus years. Like, this is going to be strange. But it really wasn't. And I think I now really realize how much my mind needs to be in the right place for my body to be receptive of the touching or whatever. And so I like that you mentioned the idea of like taking a shower or listening to something that, does sort of get you in the right mindset and primes your body. So I like that. That helps a lot. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. And there's so many other ways too. Like, I have certain music I think is sexy. And the truth is, it's not like typical sexy music. For me, it's like Nine Inch Nails or like Nirvana or something. Like, it's stuff that like kind of connects me to like my younger years when like this wasn't as challenging as it is now in my 51-year-old body. And I think there's just a lot of opportunity from music to books to audiobooks. Someone asked me for some references, and I'm happy to give them. I just don't have them right here on the call, so I'll post them. But also, I mean, there's all kinds of things I try. Sometimes like really yummy body oils, and then sometimes that's a turnoff to me. So it's like I could like take the lid off and realize like, oh, not today. But then like other times I'm like, yeah, you know, it's sort of like being willing to realize like there's no one formula that works for me every time. So I'm willing to experiment with like a lot of different things. And also like some of you know, I bet you don't, Christy, like I have really bad psoriasis. And so like a lot of times I don't shave my legs. I don't like how my skin feels when I shave my legs. And so like I always know if I'm in the shower willing to shave my legs, I'm like, oh, you must be. It's sort of like sitting back when you're eating and realizing, oh, you're at enough. I'm like, oh, you must be wanting a little something, something. Like it's not like that's a requirement in our relationship in any way, but like somehow to me, that's a symbol that I'm kind of like into it. And sometimes it's like the way I dress or literally like innuendo. All of a sudden, I find myself being open to sending a warm, if not semi-spicy text to my partner. There are so many ways you can experiment with this. I can't wait to hear all the ways you try.
Great, thank you. I that's very helpful.
You're welcome. Thanks for coming up. I'm really glad you did.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks. I'll see you soon. Bye. We have some questions too in the Q&A. Okay. Ruth Ann asked me, can you please explain the difference between body image and body esteem? Aren't they both related to self-concept? So, like 100%, they are both related to self-concept. So, like body image and body esteem are both, they're related concept, but they also refer to slightly different aspects of how like you feel about your body. And so body image is really refers to like your, how do I describe it? Like your subjective perception, your mental image of your own body, how it appears, size, shape, overall physical attributes, maybe. And it can encompass, like, I don't know, how you see your body. It's like your perception of your body, how you feel about your body. It can be positive or negative. It can be neutral. It can be influenced by lots of factors. So maybe societal standards affect your body image, or how the media portrays beauty, or if you're a person who's done like a social media audit and you have a lot of inclusivity on your feeds, then maybe it's influenced by seeing all different kinds of bodies. And then, of course, like a negative body image can lead to feeling dissatisfaction or self-conscious, or, you know, really perceiving your flaws and really focusing on those. Okay, body image. Body esteem is really more of like the value and worth and appreciation of like your own body, like the attributes of your body, like being willing to see, like in a reflective self-assessment, being able to see your value, your body's intrinsic worth, like feeling positive about the physical self. So, like, some of you know, I'm a stair climber. I travel around the country and I climb really tall buildings, and I started doing that at 350 pounds. I have a body esteem, like I respect my body. It's very strong. It carries me up 2,500 steps at a time. And so they kind of are closely linked in like self-acceptance and lack thereof, but your body esteem more implies like a healthy and positive regard for your own body. And that image is really more about the visual, if that makes sense. So that was a great question. Thank you so much for asking it. Let's see what else we've got here. Please raise your hand if you want to chat, get coached on anything associated with how you perceive your body, your thoughts about your body, your thoughts about intimacy, your thoughts about partnering, if you are single or dating. Like this call is for you. So, Marsha, can you recommend some resources for sexy stories that help fuel your fantasies? Yes, I will post some things in Facebook and If you are not in Facebook, then please email support attention to Coach Julie and I will give you some books. I have audiobooks and reading books. And to be honest, I like all kinds. I like all kinds of stories. I have, like, really, there is no wrong. There's no wrong. Like, again, if it's illegal, I don't go there. Anything side of illegal, whatever turned you on, yay you. Like, there is no problem there. So, Marsha, I will. Okay. How do you get out of your head to pleasure yourself if you're not attracted to your spouse anymore without feeling like you're cheating? Okay. This is a question from Anonymous. Anonymous, this is such a good question because what you're really saying is you have a thought about self-pleasure that it's cheating on your spouse. And you may have acquired that thought simply on your own, but it may be something you learned in your youth, through your faith, through your value system associated with marriage. All of those things, they're okay. But here's the thing, like your body, you were made physically in a way with these incredible sensory organs that allow you to receive pleasure. So it's your body. You are completely and totally entitled to have it always. Whether you're partnered or not, whether your partner is interested in you or not, whether you are interested in them or not, it's sort of like unrelated. You get to have whatever relationship you want with your body first. I'm going to answer your question. So now, how do you get out of your head? Well, how do you get out of your head? First, your brain is telling you you're cheating, right? So right off the top, your thinking is like you're doing something wrong. So you're first going to want to work on like using no BS tools we've been talking about, like those 4N new beliefs, where you notice your thought that I'm cheating if I offer myself pleasure. You normalize that thought, like, actually, of course I think this is where it comes from. Like, I knew I would think that, this is where it comes from. You neutralize it down to like, I have a human body. And then you come up with a next best that's a little bit better than cheating. So let's talk about a few, and then we're going to talk about how to physically do it. Because there's two parts of getting it out of your head, right? There's actually starting to think something new. That helps get it out of your head. And then there's literally physically doing that in the moment. So creating a new thought that's like, I'm learning to believe that I can create my own pleasure, that I'm entitled to create my own pleasure, period. So thoughts along that line. And then there's the doing it. So, okay, you have a toy or your hand or whatever you're using, the shower wand, and you want to give yourself pleasure, but your brain is like yelling, I'm cheating. So I want you to use some breath work first, like some deep breaths. I want you to answer your brain back with your new thought that you want to think, right? But this is about getting into your body. So you need to kind of quiet the yelling in your brain, however it's communicating to you. And then you want to offer yourself something new to think about. So, like, I've decided to believe first that this is no longer cheating, however you want to tell yourself that. And then it's like, letting a new story come in. So, I don't know what kinds of things would turn you on, but you might listen to something. Listening to something helps fill your brain. You might have a vivid visualization of something you've like loved doing, something you've loved having done to you, something that you like would really love to be done to you. I'm going to bring Rosita up while I finish answering. You allow both touch, both guided imagery in your brain, like eyes closed, allowing all of the story you're listening to, the music you're listening to, all your thoughts and images to like allow them to flood your brain. I'm glad you're here, Rosita. We'll be right with you. And allow them to flood your brain while you let your hands touch your body. Literally do an exercise of dropping into your body. And if nobody knows what that means, it's like doing a little bit of a body scan, letting your hands be the guide in this regard. We're talking about sex and intimacy, letting your hands just explore your own body without the purpose of like fully creating like a final outcome. And start to practice that over time. You're going to get good at it. And over time, you'll start to override the voice. Is it Rosita? Hi, welcome. I'm just going to ask you to unmute. And
Okay, sorry about
hey,
that.
Louise, you'll be next. Go ahead. What can I
Okay.
help you with?
I'm a little embarrassed, but and my husband's in the next room, so
So you're okay.
all right. So we've been married, it'll be 24 years this year. And ever since I gained all my weight, I just didn't want to have no part of sex at all. I didn't want him to see me. So this has been over a year now. But now it's like I want to start, ever since I started an OBS and started listening to you, I want to start doing something. But crazy enough, even though I'm 54 years old, I feel like a teenager because I don't know where to start and how to do it. But it's like I'm 54, I have three kids, and I'm like, are you kidding me right now?
Well, you know how today's topic is, I'm just going to wipe my nose, excuse me. Today's topic is being the scientist, not the judge. Well, that's what you're doing, right? Right off the top, you're judging yourself. So right away, we can just kind of drop that. It's like it's safe for you to decide, like now's the time and feel giddy like a schoolgirl.
I don't even know how to start, like,
Let's talk about it. So is your, are you like, is your, you said you have a spouse?
yes.
Okay. So a male spouse, female spouse?
Male.
Great. I'm only asking, it doesn't matter, but I just sometimes toss a pronoun out and I really am committed to not making assumptions about people's partnering. So thank you. So is he open to talking about it at all? Is, are you open to talking about it at all?
No.
Okay. Tell me about that.
I'm just so embarrassed about my body.
What's,
And
tell me why.
now, because I'm just because I'm so big,
Okay.
you know,
Do you think?
he's small, you know, he's 5'6", he weighs 155 pounds.
Yeah.
And when I met him, you know, I was much smaller than what I am now. And I'm just so embarrassed, even though we've been married for 24 years, we've known each other for 30 years. I know he'll love me no matter what I look like and whatever. But it's just me. I can't get it out of my head of the way I look.
Yeah. So what if you don't have to get it out of your head? Like, you know, at No BS where Corinne says, like, you don't have to believe to just keep going. And like, motivation isn't required for weight loss. And like, as long as you commit to keep going, is like, it is going to work itself out. Well, this is kind of similar. It's like, you take one action, right? There's always just the next action. And you trust that, like, it is going to work out. You don't have to like your body to give him pleasure and to receive pleasure. Now, I can kind of promise you that over time, you will like it a little bit more. But if that weren't even the issue today, if it was like, if you knew tomorrow that you were going to wake up having had a really satisfying interaction with him in this body that you have right now, would it matter as much to you what you look like?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Right. Just like most of us, like if I knew 100% I was going to lose all 150 pounds, I'm 90 in, so I got a ways to go. If I knew 100% I was going to lose it all, would it really matter if it took another year? Probably not, right? Because I'm just going to be happy that I did it. This is the same thing. Your body, as it is right now, he can think you're beautiful, hot. He can want to have sex with you, and you don't have to understand it. You just have to be willing. You have to believe that you're worthy of it, worthy of the pleasure, and willing to take one action towards it.
Okay, that
So what
sounds
would that look like for you today?
like as far as my first action towards it. I mean, I don't know if it sounds corny if I sit down and talk to him about it first.
I think it
So I
sounds
don't, so he doesn't, he's not set back like, oh my God, what's wrong with you all of a sudden?
Beautiful.
You know.
I think communication is highly underrated in this area. I think men love to talk about it. Women who love to talk about it, partnered people love to talk about it. And I think when you aren't partnered, thinking about it is also quite satisfying. So, like, literally, since we're talking about you and your husband, I'm focusing it on your relationship. I bet opening the door to conversation, being able to even just say to him, like, I really want more. I want to give you pleasure and I want to receive pleasure with you.
I mean, because we're young. I mean, we're not old. And I feel like I'm 99 and a half years old. So, see, I'm in my pajamas already.
Yes. Look, I literally started this exact journey that you're talking about, having no sex, in my case, for many years. I was 350 pounds. And it turns out my husband thought I was the hottest thing on earth all 25 years at every size. Like, it's me. I was the one who had the thoughts about my body. So I still have some thoughts about my body. It's fine. It's fine.
You're right. It's true. I mean, it's true. I mean, we've had three children together. He's been there for each of their births. I mean, he's
Right.
seen me at my absolute worst.
Wait, if he's been with you in the birthing, he's been all up in your business, he knows exactly what's going on in there.
For sure.
So, like, literally, you not doing it, you're not actually hiding anything from him. You know what you're really doing? You're hiding you from you. And man, it sounds like you're worthy of something way better than that today.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay, gonna go
You're
for
right.
it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I gotta look at his schedule and see when his next night off is.
I love that. I love that for you because that is the way to do it, right? Like, the longer we wait for spontaneity, the less likely it's gonna happen. Like, that is my challenge to you. Go find his schedule, get it on the books for you, and spend however much time between then and now reminding yourselves of some of the things we've all talked about here today. And also, you can come to Ask Coaches if you want support from me, just attention to me, or go in the Facebook group. And if you really want accountability, you have all couple hundred of us. You can go ahead and tell us what day he's off so we can all support you.
That sounds good.
Oh, I'm so excited for you. Can't wait for you to start this journey for yourself.
Okay, sounds good. Yeah. Thank you.
You're
Thank you so
welcome.
much. I appreciate
You're so welcome. Thank you. I'll see you soon.
All right,
Bye.
bye.
All right, Louise. Let's see. It's so good. You all, you. Louise, as you're coming on and I'll ask you to unmute and start your camera. I just like, I'm pulling a Corinne with the tears here, but like, you are truly worthy of this in the body you have today. And I know as much as anybody what it's like to wait for the perfect body for this. And whether it comes or not is irrelevant. Like, you're entitled to this pleasure right now. In the body you have, the way it is perfect for pleasure. There's nothing about weight that stops you from receiving pleasure. All right, there's my soapbox. Hi, Louise.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. I hope you
Good to see
remember
you
me.
again. Yeah.
Remember me from camp. You were so helpful when you spent that time with me, and I appreciate it. And I also appreciate your response to my ask coaches about my COVID lack of taste and smell. I'm working on it.
Good. Always willing to help and support you in any way. What are you working on here?
So I just wanted to follow up on my question in the Q&A about is bad sex better than no sex? So
Yeah.
you know my story, but I'll just quickly for everybody else. After a 10-year dead marriage, no BS got me strong enough to ask for more. And last July, I asked for more. My husband has erectile dysfunction. He has finally, after months, acknowledged it. He has finally made an appointment with our doctor and also with a men's health clinics, which is awesome. I'm so happy, so proud. We had a very disappointing Christmas Day event, which was a complete failure, which knocked my self-esteem. And I basically said to him, he has to initiate when he's ready and able because I can't do it anymore. And so
Okay.
I guess now I'm feeling guilty that I've done that, or, you know.
Well, nothing's permanent.
No, I know, but. You know, we were having sex 2 or 3 times a week, and now it's maybe once.
Okay. So, what do you want to do about that? Do you want to stick to your guns and say he has to initiate? Or do you want to decide that was a rash decision? That's not right for you.
Well, I think I have to figure out how to have unfulfilling sex yet still be satisfied. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And I know it's my shitty brain, and that's it with everything.
Well, here's the thing. You are saying have unfulfilling sex with him.
Well, I mean, let me clarify that. He tries very hard to make sure I'm satisfied, but the actual act of penetration is unsatisfactory because it
Yeah.
doesn't always last very long.
Yeah. So do you use other things to experience penetrative sex so that you can feel satisfied?
Yes, we do.
I know it's like not so many people. It's not exactly the same, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. Should I just be patient and see what happens with his appointments, or should I just go for it and take what I get? Like, that seems a little selfish as well. So I don't know. It's my brain flip-flopping.
Yeah. Here's the thing, there's no selfish. If he's offering something, you get to take it. Period.
Yeah.
You know, there's like, you can't actually take sex from someone unless we're talking about a criminal act again, and we're not going to.
No, we don't do that.
So, like in a consensual relationship, like anything he offers you, you're entitled to take.
So how do I stop feeling guilty that I'm satisfied and he's not?
It's not your responsibility. His responsibility is to be satisfied. Your responsibility is to be satisfied for you. Like, we have this misnomer, I think, in relationships that our partner is responsible for our sexuality, but this is no different than no BS and Corinne saying, like, own your own shit, own your own decisions, don't blame your family, don't blame your spouse, it's choices. This is the same thing. Like, he can decide to do a bunch of appointments and try testosterone or whatever he's gonna try, and like, maybe it will work and maybe it won't, but the truth is, he can't do much about his body not functioning other than the things that can maybe help, and they maybe will or won't. Right?
See, I've never looked at it that way. I always thought it was my job to please him and his job to please me.
No. It really just
Wow.
isn't. It's your job to be, if you need pleasure, to provide yourself pleasure. Now, maybe you provide yourself pleasure on your own. Fine. But maybe you provide yourself pleasure by partnering with someone. But it's you providing that's it, like, right?
That's like 42 years of sex ed blown away.
It's like we're responsible for our own shit. Just like in No BS, we're responsible for our own thoughts and feelings. This is the same. I want you guys to hear me. It is your responsibility for your own pleasure. That doesn't mean you have to be the one doing it, although you can. And I'm a proponent of it.
Me too.
Right. It doesn't mean you have to do it. But when you partner and you enter into a consensual sexual relationship, that is you providing yourself pleasure. Just like when I go to a restaurant, I'm not supplying the food, but I have supplied myself the food. I went to the restaurant, I sat down at the table and I ordered. But it was my responsibility. Someone else is preparing the food, but I supplied it to myself by going there and sitting down and paying for it. This is not any different. You're supplying yourself with pleasure when you show up in that relationship.
Wow. My mind is blown, Julie.
Wow.
I'm so glad I raised my hand.
I'm glad you raised your hand too.
I was going to start typing it out and I thought, oh, just raise your hand. You've done it with Corinne. Julie's way nicer than Corinne.
I'm telling her you said so.
You can tell her that. I'll tell her that.
I'm kidding.
No, Corinne is great. She helped coach me back in October and I was so happy I raised my hand then. And I just love this program.
Well, we love you back and go forth and provide yourself pleasure however you get it, because you're entitled to it.
Awesome.
And your husband will do that too if he wants to.
Yep.
And that's on him.
Wow. See, one less thing I have to be responsible for.
You got it, lady.
I'll cross that off my to-do list.
I love it. I'll see you soon. It's good to see you again.
Thanks, Julie.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Crystal? Love me some pleasure talk, everyone. Nothing better than sitting here in a room full of No BS women and taking more power back into our hands. Hi.
Hi. Oh my gosh, Coach Julie, you're amazing. I love your voice. This is the first time I'm on one of your live calls, but just thank you so much for the work that you do.
Thank you. What are you working on?
So I have been struggling with intimacy in my marriage. And I feel like prior to having our son, which was 6.5 years ago, things were okay. Mm-hmm. I think during my pregnancy, I was more interested in sexual intimacy and mm-hmm. I was denied mm-hmm. sometimes more than I wanted to be. Yeah. And then of course, after having the baby and, you know, I always joke like, oh, the only time I've had stitches. Things just started to kind of unravel at that point. I was tired. He's tired. We're raising this baby. And I think I've been really involved in motherhood. But also I know that as a child, I have some pretty big T trauma, you know. And so I think during some really formative years, I was taught that like sexual contact was inappropriate, that it was bad. You know, there were all these things, all these really negative things around it. And I just think that although like I went to therapy and stuff for all the stuff that happened, I feel like that plus like, oh, I'm a mom and I'm exhausted and I work full time and we're so busy. I just feel like I'm at this place where it's kind of like, I have no desire at all. I'm never really interested. I will pursue it because I know that it's important to him, but it's also led to a lot of fights. Where like we're fighting about something completely different. And then this comes in like, you never show any desire toward me. And I'm like, well, if you're yelling at me about it, no, like I'm not. So I feel like there's just kind of this constant tug of war of, you know, getting back to what I would deem normal. Like, I'm sorry, I forgot her name, but the last person who was like once a week, I'm like, girl, my husband would love to like call you his wife because that's not our reality. So,
okay, let's talk about it a little bit. Like, so having a trauma, like sexual trauma, can come up at any time in all kinds of ways. I've talked a little bit about my own on coaching calls. I'm not going to talk about it again here now, but I've also experienced sexual trauma, and it's really a challenge when you have that type of trauma in your past, because you don't really know what's going to trigger it, how it's going to come up. It's possible that, like, from the birth of your child and all the things that happen in that region and all that experience, like, you had that come forward for you. But here is what I want to know. Like, do you want it to be different with your husband today? Like, not necessarily looking back to the way it was, but like, can you imagine that there's a different possible future? And do you want it to be different?
I do. I do. Yeah. My marriage is really important to me. I know that I really lucked out in finding the best partner for me. I don't want him to feel unloved in that way. So yes, it is something that baby mommy's on. I mean, it is something that I would like to have change for the better. Increased frequency, because I feel like that would get us into a better spot and a greater connection.
So let's talk about, like, the possibilities about that. So there's a few ways to do this. You can just do it more often, and you don't necessarily have sexual pleasure, and he does, and you get maybe something else from it, like intimacy, connection, closeness. And there are women who choose to do that when they don't have a lot of desire themselves, right? But I wouldn't necessarily say that's the easiest thing to do. So, like, do you have desire to awaken your own pleasure?
I do. I need a moment. I do. I do. And it's interesting because even on my own, it's very rare that I feel the urge or the need or whatever prompts your body to seek that. It's very rare that, and I don't know, I'm like, is this just like a medical thing? Like, should I be asking my doctor about this?
Okay. Two things. Like, first, you can ask a doctor 100%. I would never want to discourage that, but I do want you and everyone on this call to know it's really normal. Whatever your own desire level is, it's normal. Like, everything from zero to like five times a day, there's like no abnormal, because there's no normal. It's all normal. And so this is what's interesting, is because sometimes we partner and maybe we think when we're a certain age, no kids, like our libidos are aligned. But then you went through this physical transformation, and then now you guys are parenting and your libido has changed, and it doesn't sound like his really has, right?
Right.
So nothing's wrong with you because of that. Like, you're not obligated to do anything for anybody, but it sounds like you really do want to be closer. Is that true?
Yeah.
So what do you have, like, what can you offer yourself in terms of space with you have a 6-year-old, you said?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have time enough to yourself to kind of allow you to connect to you in a meaningful way? Right. When we talk about pleasure, we don't have to go into all, I know you have a 6-year-old there. We don't have to go into all the details of like certain kinds of pleasure, but sometimes it's just awakening our body. Nakedness with a fuzzy blanket, with hot water, with bath oils. And like, there's a lot of ways to start to awaken your own body that, like, open the door to future intimacy.
Okay.
And I'm guessing you haven't spent a lot of time in that realm.
I haven't, actually. Like, I spend a lot of time, like, the self-care is important to me. Like, I wake up, you know, at 4:45 every day, and I enjoy a good hour and 15 minutes like of time just on my own before I even get ready for my day. You know, I go do my hiking and all these things, but I guess I haven't really considered how I can bring that, you know, that kind of like you're called an awakening. I haven't considered how to approach that. Probably I never thought of that.
Yeah. So like a great first step is like a very yummy smelling bath product, because you probably are pretty much alone in the shower. Maybe not, but like, that's a great way to like have something really yummy to let your hands experience your own body while you wash your body. And what so many of us don't do, and I'm not going to describe it here because you have your child there, but what many of us don't do is remember that our hands are really sensory, and feeling our own skin. Like, what do you feel inside your body? What do your hands feel? Like, start to really reconnect just you with your body on a regular basis. Like in the morning when you lay in bed, touch your whole body that you can reach, and just notice the sensations. Like, notice how the hair follicles feel on your arms. Notice how your fingernails meet your cuticles, meet your fingers, right? Like, awaken your body's senses to like the human you are, not just the mom you became.
Yeah. And you know, I really appreciate that advice, and I am going to take that to heart and start to practice that, because as we're talking, the thought that comes to mind about the, you know, my childhood stuff and like being a mom and giving birth and breastfeeding, like all of this is just like, for so long, like I felt like my body hasn't been mine. And so I feel like I'm in this place of resentment, and that like, I don't want to give my body away. I want it back, you know? And I think that what you're suggesting here is a really good way for me to improve things here for myself.
Yeah. And remember, it's like your whole body, you know, when you're washing your hair, the textures of it, the thickness of it, like how it feels when you run your fingers through it. We're talking about like reawakening your human body and you as an individual, now that your child is old enough to be a little bit more independent from you, and you get to kind of reawaken yourself. Look, you can find me and ask coaches. I could give you probably a dozen exercises like this that you could kind of do in progression to work your way towards your goal. And it would be my honor. So if you go into Ask Coaches and do an attention coach, Julie, I can give you quite a few resources for this.
Thank you, Coach Julie. I appreciate you.
You're welcome. Take care of you.
Thank you. You too.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
All right. Well, we have come to the end of this call, and you all, it's amazing. Thank you for your contribution to this discussion, for making No BS a place for women to experience their full and complete lives in the bodies they have right now. Wow. We work towards our goal of weight loss, or we maintain our loss that we've had, and we live our full, rich, complete lives. Coach Lisa, thank you for being in the chat. If there are no further questions, we are done for the evening. Thank you so much. What an honor to be here with you. All right. Bye now. Thanks.